You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to episode 23 of That's Awesome with Joe. I'm Joe. I'm here with Josh as usual after taking a week off. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
As always, I am good as well. We are recording this on today's the 4th, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, man. My head's just elsewhere. I've been avoiding intentionally a lot of the election stuff just because it is stressful. I really honestly looked really quick this morning just to see like what was going on. It's exactly what I thought, is that we don't know anything. So I am trying to, you know, remain centered and calm and focused on other stuff while this is happening. And then just because I don't really see a point in worrying about it until there's nothing I can really do at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everyone else is kind of doing the same thing, at least in my circles right now. So that's where I'm at today. But wanted to talk about a few things before we get started. We had our Ice Nine Kills had our live stream this past week. And it was really, really fun. For those of you that did not get to see it, essentially, we did a little bit different than what most people were doing. We used a pre-recorded show that we recorded, November 29th at the Worcester Palladium. We had recorded and filmed that whole set, and then we intertwined a whole kind of movie storyline in with it, and we all got killed in it, and there's still fake blood in my bathroom from it. Josh, you got a chance to watch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think?
It was cool.
Yeah, I think we wanted to do something a little bit different than what a lot of the other live streams were doing. So it was like all pre-recorded. And I don't know. We didn't really want to hide that or anything because we wanted it to be more about like the movie and everything. We had Bill Moseley, who was Chop Top, for those of you that follow your horror movies, House of a Thousand Corpses. What were the other ones he was in? Why can't I think of them? House of a Thousand Corpses, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's one other one that is totally slipping my mind. It's like my favorite one that he's in. But yeah, so that was a really cool experience. And thank you for everyone that participated and checked in there and everything. It was really, really awesome. So yeah, fun stuff. We're also, Josh, myself, and I have actually brought another person on board who's working with us, who I'll have on here at some point. His name's Nick, and he's doing a lot of our photo and video stuff at the moment. So we're going to be producing our own content for YouTube soon and for other stuff that we're going to work with our network on and all that kind of stuff. So we've been busy as hell, and it's killing me that I can't show anyone what we've been doing, but soon enough, you'll see. Josh, you were not present during this week's interview, so you haven't heard it yet, right?
No.
Okay, cool. Today, I interviewed Andy Cizek, and I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm sorry if it's wrong. This was a really cool one for me because I met Andy years ago when he was singing for a band called Wander and when I was booking a band called Macari. So Wander ended up jumping on tour with Macari, and that's how I met him. And since then, I've been following his career closely because he is incredibly talented, and you can just see his personal musical career just kind of skyrocketed in the last few years. So it's been really, really cool to watch, really great to reconnect, and cool to kind of filling the gaps in the storyline that I knew with Andy. But Andy is currently the singer of Monuments, also the singer of Makari, and he also runs his own YouTube channel as well, which has plenty of covers and stuff like that on. So definitely check out his stuff. We're doing this episode today in promotion of Makari's new EP that actually comes out this week. So make sure you take a listen to Makari and check out that new stuff that's dropping. So I'm really excited about it personally. But Josh, anything you want to add before we kick it over?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. All right, let's send it over to Andy. Here with Andy. Andy, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So listen, I figured maybe I'd start off with kind of explaining my introduction to you, at least as far as, you know, your presence in the industry and in the music scene and stuff.
Sure.
Just to give listeners a little background, but I feel like it also kind of lines up perfectly when things started really going for you and you know, your name's kind of just been popping up constantly over the past few years since then. So my first intro to you was actually when I was booking or just starting to work with a band that you are now in called Makari.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I, at the time, they were working with a different singer. And I believe your band, Wander, was the opening band on that tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And it was just like a short little run, two-band bill. Mm-hmm. And I remember Eric showing me Wander, and I was like, whoa, this band's pretty fucking cool. And this dude has like, it's like some serious talent. And then I went down, as I think many other people have, the Andy Cizik YouTube hole. Right. And sure. That's kind of where I got in, you know, like really introduced to you.
Cool.
Not personally, but just like, you know, kind of your musical influences and your talent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it was really cool to see you actually join a band that I was really passionate about as well, which was Makari.
Hell yeah.
And since then, which we'll get into, you've done some other stuff as well. So
right.
That's kind of how I discovered you, but I feel like it might be a cool space to start into just how you kind of started even doing that YouTube stuff and joining Wander and everything.
Yeah, man. My story is, I guess the typical story of I was a teenager who wanted to play in rock bands and I was doing talent shows and shit like that. I was in a bunch of little, you know, local bands, pop punk bands and stuff, and did some small tours when I was super young. And through that scene was how I came to know the guys in Wander. I've actually known those dudes longer than I can even remember. Because we've been doing it for so long, but we were in other bands together that became Wander. And it was kind of just for fun. Started out as a fun thing, but, as we worked through the album and I was getting into production, I had gone to trade school for recording and stuff. I was doing our production and I started to realize, hey, I can record myself and get it done, you know, get myself out there without having to go through a middleman to do production. And I wasn't great at it, but it was like, you know, I think my mediocre skills are somewhat of a jumping off point. So,
You only need to pass a certain threshold. You don't have to be like
right, especially starting out, you can't expect to be perfect. You have to have those first few like crappy videos. And I had like a pretty teeny little YouTube account that I would sometimes put like acoustic covers up. But then I did this one Dance Gavin Dance vocal cover of On the Run, I think it was. That was like the first one I really took kind of seriously. And yeah, that one got a pretty good response. So I did another one and another one, and those started to grow.
Did you already have kind of like subscribers built in at this point, or were they just
like
kind of naturally growing?
A small amount. Like basically when I was 17, 18, I started my YouTube channel and was just doing like Johnny Craig, Never Shout Never, Man Overboard, acoustic covers, shit like that. And just when you could add friends on YouTube, I would add everybody I knew.
I didn't even know you could do that.
It was like a social network kind of. Anyway, that was like ages and ages ago. So I had somewhat of a something of a following, I guess, from
people
that shit.
People that would see your videos.
Yeah, but it was really nothing serious until I started doing these little cover videos. And then it was like some traction. And I think it was the Sumerian like songwriting audition thing that I did that really got my name out there on YouTube. Yeah. I think that was like,
I actually ripped that song off of YouTube when it came out.
Oh, hell yeah. Thanks, man.
I
appreciate
love
that.
It's fantastic.
I'm glad you liked it.
Let's talk about that a little bit too, because I feel like that was kind of pivotal, right?
Yeah, man. That was just something I did on a whim. I saw they were having it and it looked cool. And I did mine late. Like, I submitted mine pretty late and I didn't think anything of it. I wrote the song kind of fast. I was just feeling it. It felt right.
And it's really well written. Like,
thank
vocally,
you, man.
It just flows so well.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know what came over me. It just kind of popped out. And the thing kind of took off. Like, people really liked it. I think the fact that everyone had an eye on this competition and were constantly searching, like, Sumerian vocal audition, seeing who was
right,
you know,
and it
who
being
the
so
contenders.
Like mysterious,
yeah, yeah,
who was in the band,
exactly. That right. just got a lot of people watching it, and it was just a serendipitous opportunity that ended up really jumpstarting my quote unquote career.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's led the way for a lot of opportunities
for sure. What ended up happening really? With that? I'll be honest, I kind of lost interest
in
it after.
but they ended up being a band called In Motive.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. In Motive, they were called. It had somebody from the Born of Osiris camp. And singer's name was Devin Barris. I don't think he stayed in the band super long because he made an announcement that he quit at some point. And I don't know. I think they're just kind of defunct. I haven't heard much about that project. So...
maybe they made the wrong choice.
Well, no, I don't know. I can't say
I know
that.
You can't like, say that.
And it's not just that. Like, obviously Devin is sick, but I think I just uploaded my shit too late. I was told by two insider people that they had already chosen a winner before I had even they already contacted him. I don't know if that's like for sure true, but that's what I heard because I was pretty late to the game, and who's to say who would have won. You know, but it doesn't matter.
You know, it doesn't. I mean, that
Devin
video...
has his own thing. I've got my own thing, and it's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. What happened after? Is that about the time that you started talking to Makari too? Or you ended up doing a cover of a video of theirs, right?
So basically, how did this? I'm trying to think of the order of operations. I think the Sumerian video might have been out already. For a bit, and maybe Makari's manager hit me up and was like, you want to do a tour with this band? And I was like, oh, well, I love Makari. I was a big fan of them and their singer at the time, Spencer, who had been in Decoder, who I was a huge fan of as well.
Right.
But I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Tour with them. Are you kidding me? And I guess that we just got acquainted that way. It was like some sort of manager type thing, and I guess they'd been made aware of me, and so yeah, we did the tour and we vibed, and I guess they were impressed by
my... Oh, dude, I remember how it happened, how you guys ended up on that tour, actually.
Oh, do you?
I think it was me.
Were you the one that made this connection?
I think it might have been
really?
Me, because I remember... Were you working with... Was it Greg?
Yeah, so Greg was managing Macari.
That's right.
And Wander was on We Are Triumphant, which
that's
is
what it,
his
that's
label.
That's what it was. That's what it was. So, and Greg had asked me to put you guys on with
that. Was that it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was.
Yep. So wait, did you book that tour?
I did.
You booked that? It's starting to come back to me. Yeah, yeah. We actually met at one of those shows, right?
Yeah, we met very briefly New Hampshire, I think.
That tour... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess that was it started something we had no idea was coming, because once Spencer left, they had been stoked on my performances on that tour, right? So Eric called me and told me like they needed a singer. And at first I was like, I don't know, man. You live in Florida and I live in Maryland, and like
at this point was Wander like being more serious than just kind of like something for fun?
That's the thing, man. Like even on that Wander tour, I had to hire two fill-ins for the tour, because like two of our main guys just weren't about touring. They didn't want to do it. So I like really pushed for that tour to happen in the first place. Wander's kind of always been more of a studio thing.
Gotcha.
Collectively. So yeah, I was looking for something to do. I wanted to keep touring, and I didn't think it was going to happen with Wander. I had been involved in something else at the time, too. There was, like, another potential band I was in for, like, a year that didn't end up working out.
Okay.
Basically, I was just at a crossroads. But when I went to record Control with them and with Andrew Wade, it felt so... right, and the chemistry was really good, and
yeah,
it felt like I was ready for the challenge. So, yeah,
it's a great fit.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah, and being, you know, I've been a fan of Macari since, oh man, for a very very long time, since like I want to say like 2011.
So you're the OG fan.
I'm a lifer.
Like Ghost Stories and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think it was actually my old band that, I mean, we took them out on a Florida regional tour.
What was that? Conditions or Concepts or?
My band?
Yeah. What band was this?
Oh, no. It was even before that. It was called The Venetia Fair.
Oh, The Venetia Fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I definitely heard that name a bunch back
so
in the day.
So we ended up taking Macari out a long time ago. And that's like, I think I found them on like MySpace, and we ended up talking through MySpace or something.
Good Lord.
Right?
It's insane.
So I'm super stoked that, you know, you're with those dudes and that connection. I remember when it happened, I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking tight. So I think it's great.
So what was that show that we met at? Do you remember what city that was?
It was either in Mass or New Hampshire.
So
I wouldn't have gone outside of there.
Yeah, so dude, okay, I remember this. We were standing at the merch table, like kind of side by side, just having like a sort of casual conversation. And we had just Wander had to change our name from Wander to like Wavander, basically. Like we had to take the A and reverse it to a V. And we were telling you about it. We were like, dude, yeah, we were mid-tour and right about to put out an album, and then this other band came through and like, you know, took our page down, and you know, we had to change our name. It was this whole thing, man. It was really messed up. And you just looked at me and you were like, you guys are fucked. And I was like, oh, dude, he's right. Oh, we kind of were. I mean, that was the last Wander tour that ever happened.
Oh, damn. But I hope I didn't influence that.
Well, honestly, man, like, it was a segue into, like, what I'm doing now with Macari. So everything worked out the way it was supposed to. And truth be told, like, Wander wasn't really like gonna be a touring band at any point.
You knew it was.
I just remember that was pretty funny. I was like, god damn it, he's right.
Damn, I'm sorry I was so pessimistic off the bat.
dude, I gave you the most pessimistic story, so it was kind of like, yeah. Anyway,
Let's move on. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
so you end up joining Macari, and then walk me through. See, this is where I kind of, you know, I know the major milestones, but I was less involved with the band at this point. So right. I don't know, you know, the steps that were taken.
So like from which time period are we talking here?
Well, let's just say like when, by the time you joined the band, it was, I was kind of on my way out of being, of working in the music business.
Ah,
yes.
Industry, yes.
Know? So I still like follow the bands and everything. And now me being, playing in a band in the scene again, I'm more in touch with what's going on and everything. But the last 4 years or so have been kind of, you know, lots of blank pages.
Okay. Yeah. So you just want me to fill you in sort of from then to now?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, basically we had, a couple like starter tours and stuff, like little runs, weekenders, nothing too crazy. Testing the limits. We recorded Hyper Real, you know, our full length album. And that was an amazing experience. I had never had such a legit recording experience, and the Andrew Wade stuff. It was all fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't visited his studio, but it looks really comfy.
It's really great. And he is really great to work with. And I think he helped us focus our sound and our identity as a band, especially now, with the new EP that's coming out. But yeah, you know, we toured on that album for a while. We did 3 tours with Kurt Travis, which were awesome for us and kind of right up our alley.
You guys weren't backing him up on those, were you?
Actually, no, it was Televangelist.
I knew there was one of the bands.
Yeah, it was Televangelist, and it was also like just a bunch of people from different bands did one too. But yeah, those were really great. We toured with Calling All Captains, our friends from Canada, which was cool. We did Slaves and Picturesque. Just a bunch of fun little tours.
Right.
Trying to build something, and gradually we started to see things pick up. And then we self-produced the acoustic EP.
That sounds great. Did you produce that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That sounds
indeed
awesome.
Yeah, that was all recorded and mixed at our place in Tampa when I lived with Eric and Jay for a couple years.
Great, that's awesome.
Yeah, we got it all done there. And that was to fulfill our final obligation with In Vogue Records. So after that, we became independent. And now here we are. Yeah, we've got a new EP on the way. I guess this week it's dropping.
Right, yeah.
Pretty damn soon. So there it is. There's the crux of the short, I guess.
Are you excited about being independent now, or are you kind of like looking for that next
thing? Oh yeah, incredibly excited about being independent.
Super liberating.
I'm not super into labels or the idea of labels. And without getting too into it, I wasn't a part of the decision to sign to IVR because I wasn't in the band yet. So it just kind of, I inherited that, whatever you want to call it. And it's good to be, I think in this day and age and the way the band operates, we're better off independent right now.
Yeah.
And we're just looking. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just funny how I always feel like I hear a lot of bands say, yeah, we're super excited to be independent. And it's always so like, the idea of it is like super liberating, but I always think about how, well, I guess it's easy to say that when you've had the experience of being signed. Right?
Yeah. I mean, let me put it this way. Like, I'm not saying that all label experiences are bad ones.
Well, even if they are though, you know, like you learn a lot from those experiences.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But I think you also learn about what, You can learn about what you can get out of labels, and you also learn about what you can get done by yourself. Right. And it was like a crash course for us. And now we have the tools we need to move forward without one. So I think it's not that the whole experience of being on a label is, you know, all for naught, but the lessons that we learned are super valuable to us moving forward.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. I you know, because with my band, my old band again, the Venetia Fair, we spent so much time on an indie label. And by the time we had gotten off, we were like, I don't ever want to talk to anyone else from a label ever again.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, that's, that's really how it is. We're just happy that we're still alive and we're still a band. And
but now I think back on it, I'm like, but if I hadn't signed with that label, I probably wouldn't have had the courage to like drop out of school and go tour and like learn all the things that I didn't know I could do on my own.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, you'll never know.
I think of it as like a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I mean, I could sit here and focus on all the negatives, or I could focus on what I'm going to do with the lessons that I learned moving forward and how I can make the next thing even greater than the last thing.
Right. Right. All right. So let's go. Let me bounce back a little bit here. Too,
yeah. Yeah.
This is something I'm curious about. So at this point, you know, well, actually, let's move forward too. I want to go to Monuments now.
Okay.
So this is something I'll be honest with you. My introduction to Monuments was you joining Monuments.
Oh wow, that's
like
that's
when
wild.
I saw that you joined. That's when I went and listened to it. So I have honestly only heard a few songs here and there.
Yeah.
So I'm not like super. I don't know a ton about the band. So you might have to fill me in a little bit. But
no worries.
How did that end up happening?
Well, I've always been like really active and into the metal scene, and I love what I'm doing with Makari and Wander. But my heart still lies in heavy music, and it's kind of always been a dream of mine to front metal band. So I guess through the Sumerian thing, maybe, and a few other online things, their guitar player, Ollie Steele, found me on the internet years back. And we just had this kind of online friendship where we would chat shit. And sometimes he'd send me like solo stuff that maybe he wanted me to write some vocals to. And, you know, nothing ever really came from that, but we developed a friendship. He had filled me in on some issues that they were having with their vocalist for a while, and things were just kind of hot and cold. So I kept an eye on the situation, and I think they were keeping an eye on me. You know what I mean?
Right.
They knew.
So you kind of had like an inside scoop.
Yeah, it was like there was a little bit of talks where it's like, hey, if Chris couldn't do a tour, would you be willing to fill in? And that's how it started. And I was like, well, hell yeah, man. And they were taking
was
a risk
like last year.
I guess a little more than it's been a little more than that. Cause I technically joined over a year ago. But there was, before that I filled in for tours. So
gotcha.
Let's just call it 2018. And yeah, sure enough, things didn't work out with their vocalist. And they took a risk on me. I'd never fronted a metal band like, doing tours and shit. They'd seen my cover of Monuments. They'd seen my YouTube shit and my abilities online.
What kind of tours were you doing? Like when you first started working with them?
Just Makari tours, you know?
No. I mean, the band Monuments, like who were they?
Oh, I'm sorry. So the first thing they had me out for was, a South Africa run. So like, first we did like a couple shows in the UK, which was crazy enough for me because I'd never even been over there. And then, we went out to South Africa and
that's fucking
did
crazy.
Some shows. Yeah, it really was.
When did you go to South Africa? This was 2019?
I really should know this.
I'm just curious because I'm trying to line it up with me joining Ice Nine too. And like when I first went and did all these things at the same time.
I want to say
March, I think.
Let's see. I guess this was 2019 at this point. They already had it lined up. It was like the Phrenesis South Africa tour. That was their latest album. So, but yeah, when things didn't work out with their vocalist, they're like, "Well, we want to do these tours still." And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me, man?" Like, I was terrified because I had never. It was so many things out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's a lot to be thrown into.
But yeah, you know, I just thought to myself, like, this is what I've always wanted, and here it is. Like, this is my chance. And I only knew Ollie, and I flew out there, and we had like 2 days of practice, and we just did it.
That's nuts.
It went pretty great.
Like? like just jumping in?
I was just shitting myself the whole time. I mean, the thing is, we like played, I want to say we played like a week of shows in the UK. And
were you headlining?
Yes. All of these were headlining shows. Yeah. I'm like messing up the timeline for sure, but we had the
General idea.
Yeah, yeah. We had the UK shows, we had the South Africa shows. And then there was Tech Fest somewhere, UK Tech Fest. But yeah, all these were headliners. And I was just like, fuck, I'm the new guy. I got so much to like prove. And I was very timid. I didn't want the audience to think I was too assuming. Like, who is this guy? You know,
that's what I was going to say. Like, what did you do for like banter or like in between?
Oh, man, not much.
Super uncomfortable.
At first, I did not say much. And I felt like I was scared, and two, I like wasn't entitled to like, I wasn't the leader of the band.
Step your bounds.
Exactly. And the thing is with Monuments, none of those guys have ever like had a mic. Like, it's always just been the singer talks and sings, and there's no other mics on stage, no other vocal mics. So they weren't trying to like change that up. I was like, hey, you guys want to have some mics so you can talk? It's your band. And they're just like, nah. I'm like, fuck. All right. So
and
I just,
you're going on tour in a foreign country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, the next tour we did was in India. And then right after, we did a full European thing. And I felt myself getting more comfortable as the tour went on, where at first I was barely talking to the crowd and telling them to clap or telling them what to do. And then by the end of it, it was like walls of death and walking on people's hands and like just commanding, I grew into it basically. Yeah, it just, over time, and they were very welcoming too. I just knew that I had a lot, big shoes to fill and a lot to prove. And I worked my ass off, to prepare myself. I even took lessons from Melissa Cross before the big European tour, just so I could make sure I wasn't going to blow my shit out on a long tour. It, you know, going from 30-minute sets with Macari to like 90 minutes of singing and screaming.
Yeah, man. I can't even imagine.
Like almost like 2 months or whatever. It was a huge challenge. So
yeah, I bet. I mean, I had a hard enough time doing that on bass, and that's just like,
right. Yeah, man. I bet it was similar for you. Being thrown into such a big,
well, I'm sure it was much harder using your voice.
Sure, yeah. There's definitely a level of stress that comes from vocal maintenance and doing the extreme techniques.
I've always been like, people have told me before that they would like me to front a band, and I'm like, dude, I don't think I can deal with the pressure, or like you know, I was talking about this with Spencer, who's our vocalist. I was like, those nights when you have like, you can just tell your voice isn't. Even for your own standards, it's not up to par.
God, right? I know that feeling
like
so well.
Going up on stage, and this is me as a backing vocalist too. It's like mortifying.
You feel powerless.
I'm like, I have no choice. That I know people are going to hear, and they're not going to be good.
Yep. Yeah, man. And it sucks because there's no, you can't really win. Like you can go for the note and fuck it up because you know that you can't hit it that day, or you can duck down and not do it. And then people are like, what the fuck? You know, like,
right.
So it's, there's a lot of pressure. That comes with the territory. And, you know, I guess if I want all the rewards that being a vocalist, comes with, then I have to be willing to accept that I can't party as much. And I have to be more disciplined. And I mean, no matter what, there's wear and tear, and it's hard. But at the end of the day, I think it would be a disservice for me to not give it everything I have, you know what I mean, in terms of taking it seriously and, you know, not chickening out when things seem scary.
For sure. Well, you know what the other thing is though, dude, and I think this is pretty apparent to people, is that like you can tell that you really enjoy doing it. You can like even just the fact that you were doing it on YouTube and you like went to school to learn how to record and then utilize both of those skills that you had to make you know, an opportunity. You made your own opportunity.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? Like, you can tell that it's something you enjoy doing and you made yourself good at it to get what you
want. Yeah, man. People often ask me if I was like born with all the things that I can do, the techniques and the range and like even the charisma. Like, and I can definitely say that I wasn't. And it just took a lot of like trial and error and failure and embarrassment and elbow grease and just like, you know, squeezing everything into a diamond over time or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Because I loved it so much, because I just knew that it was what I wanted. And when I want something, I'm willing to put 100% of myself into it.
For sure. Yeah. Well, it shows for sure.
Thanks, man.
Let's move to like what's coming up. So we know that Macari has well, let's talk about Monuments first, since we're already kind of talking about them.
Yeah.
What does Monuments kind of have planned, especially now that touring is on hold for season?
Man. We had a bunch of tours lined up and now they're not happening, obviously. But we've been in the process of writing a new album, like a full album, and there's lots of riffs and ideas floating around. But it's definitely not like that far along. You know, it's there's right. a lot of things happening in the Monuments camp right now. Many people are busy with stuff. We do have a few singles in the works, though. There's one being mixed right now. So there should be a new single coming out like fairly soon.
Sweet.
I'd expect it at the very beginning of the next year.
Right.
And then who knows? Right now, it's kind of uncertain when we're going to have that album ready, but we're working on stuff.
Nice. So kind of just on hold until that, you're just kind of working through shit and just seeing.
Yeah. Monuments is a band that takes a lot of time to do things and always has been. So it's not uncommon for it to take like 3 years for a record sometimes with them.
Gotcha.
But like quality over quantity. I think everyone in the band is very high standard OCD perfectionist personality. So
yeah, you can tell that everyone kind of knows what they want and what they're doing in Monuments.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I can definitely say that it's being worked on and it's happening. So
sweet. And then let's talk about the new album with Macari. So you did it with Andrew Wade, right?
Yes.
And when did you kind of start? How long has this been in the works?
Actually, we had two of the singles done like so fucking long ago. Like before the acoustic EP was even tracked, we went to Andrew's and did two songs. This was like probably at the end of like 2018 even.
Oh, wow.
Or the beginning of 2019, something like that, probably around then. We tracked two of the songs that are on the EP, thinking we were just going to put them out as singles or something. And then we were like, hold up, let's work out our deal with IVR first. And, you know, we don't know what we're going to do with these songs, but let's put them on hold. We cranked out the acoustic EP, and from there, when our In Vogue stuff was like, you know, finalized and we parted ways, when that was being in the process, we started finishing up the EP. So we went back to Wade's and recorded the rest of them, the other three. And yeah, now everything's sounding super crispy and we're really excited to put that shit out.
And what day is that out?
That is coming out on the, I don't want to mess this up. So,
man, you're pretty rough with days and times.
No, I am. It's the 6th. November 6th. Yes.
November 6th.
Very soon.
Sweet. I'm really excited for it.
Dates are a problem for Andy.
Dude, well, you know, we tried to do this interview twice already. So
yeah.
One was my fault, and then one was yours. So we're both batting pretty, well, 500.
At least
right
you
now.
Get it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, so thank you for kind of walking me through that. I know it's a lot of detail and
I'm happy to talk about it
being challenging for my guests to kind of go through all those things, but I hope it's as fun for you as it is for me.
Oh yeah, man. As brain scrambling as it is, still, it's a lot of fun. So yeah, I appreciate
nice
the question.
To look back. Oh, of course. But you know how we end every episode of our podcast is kind of going through a couple, one or two tour stories that you might have.
Sure.
Anything is on the table. So I don't know if you had anything prepared or if you need a minute to think of anything. But
I looked at the sheet. I guess I have two funny things. Kind of funny. I tell these stories fairly often. But the first one was a Macari tour story that was kind of funny. It's just a typical prank type shit of like we were doing our second tour with Kurt Travis and we were playing one of the last shows or it might have been the last show and just doing a thing, whatever I was singing. And all of a sudden I like feel my body being lifted up in the air like what the fuck is going on? And Kurt and his band like put us all on their shoulders like mid set and like, dude, it just like completely ruined the song. It was so fucked up and bad, but it was really funny. There's like footage somewhere of it that I'm trying to find. But it was hilarious and like they just clowned on us. So the next tour, we interrupted their set on the last show with this, like Kevin found a giant check. Like one of those, like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you know a charity check.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just wrote like a bunch of in jokes from the tour on it. And like, they were doing their Eternity Forever EP. Right. So it was like Eternity Dollars for Kurt and like for so that's how we got him back. Then that story's okay, I guess. It's just kind of silly.
You know why that I like that one though? Is because, I like any jokes involving Kurt because when I toured with Kurt, when he was in A Lot Like Birds, I refused to call them A Lot Like Birds and I would always call him Kurt and the Birds every time on stage. So it just reminds me of shit like that.
Yeah.
I know his reaction to things.
Yeah. You know? He's a really funny guy and a very infectious laugh. But then I have actually have a better story than that, which was, Monuments in Madrid, as our set was beginning, I was still in the bathroom peeing. And I heard our drummer starting the set in my in-ears. And I was like, fuck. So I sprinted through the green room as fast as I could, yanked open this big metal door that I underestimated the weight of. And it comes flying at me and smacks me right in the face, right in the head. Stars.
Wait, so it like came back at you?
Dude, I just fucked up. I'm a very clumsy fellow. But I was basically just nervous because like, I was like, oh shit, we got to go. The set's starting. And I became absent-minded Andy just trying to get out there. So I feel this shockwave through my fucking skull, dude. Like my jaw is vibrating from this hit. Like I smashed myself in the forehead, but I go up on stage anyway. I'm like, well, I guess I got a terrible bump. Halfway through the song, I touch my head and there's like blood all over my hand.
So it looked like you just came out like that.
Dude, apparently there was a lot of blood. And like Mike, our drummer, looks at me like, what the fuck is going on, man? And we finish the song and we stop and it's just like, okay, well, that's happening. Like I'm bleeding really bad. Our TM gives me a towel and I just kind of blot it. And I'm like, well, it's fine. Like, whatever. Let's finish the set. I feel okay. We do finish the set and I am just bleeding all over the place, but it's kind of metal because it's a metal show. So it's all working out.
I'm trying to find pictures of this right now.
Oh, dude, I wish I could. I have some somewhere, but anyway, it kind of was brutal and the fans loved it.
I found it.
You might have found it though, because the funny thing is there's pictures of me with blood all over my shirt that is actually from a different show and a different time.
No, I have you. It looks like you have a bandage on your
forehead. Yeah, that's Madrid. There you go. But basically afterwards I looked in the mirror and I was like, holy fuck, this is actually huge. And I feel concussed. And so I had to go to the hospital and get stitches and I had like a concussion from it.
Damn.
So that night was kind of rough. And then the rest of the tour, I was just like, I looked like Frankenstein and it was gnarly and I had to make dumb jokes on stage about it. But anyway, it's a memory that I'll never forget, and I have a scar to remind me, and it's a testament to my clumsiness, if anything.
I have a scar on my face, too, from a similar, well, a guitar peg went through my cheek last year.
It went through?
Yeah.
Was it your own guitar? Was it somebody else's?
No, it was someone else's.
Jesus Christ.
It happened on the second song of a 90-minute set.
How hard must have you been hit for it to go through?
Dude, it was pretty bad.
It pierced
you. But the thing is with our band is that no one, like if they see blood, they're like, oh.
It's part of the show. Yeah.
That's Ice Nine Kills.
Of course.
But really, I had a hole in my face.
Good Lord.
Like there was a point in the show where I pushed it with my tongue and it went through.
Oh my God, dude.
Do you know what I mean?
That's it fucking was gross. Mortifying. Were you like freaking out as you were playing?
No, I mean like.
Was the adrenaline just kicking in?
Well, there was definitely adrenaline, right? Because yeah. All it felt like was my whole side of my head went like numb.
Oh
like it was
God,
warm
dude.
Because it was more so the cut didn't actually hurt. It was the impact.
Oh, that's gnarly. Yeah, that is fucking gnarly. That's like, you know, blunt force trauma.
Yeah, so I feel your pain with that.
Did you get stitches?
Yeah, I think I got, how many? I think I got six.
Fuck,
or seven,
dude.
I think.
That is gnarly. Well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you were able to finish the show, man. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you too.
We toughed it out. We played through the
blood.
That's
what it's, we play in metal bands.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
It's metal as fuck. And that's what that's a joke I made every night afterwards. I'd just be
right.
Like, yeah, I walked into a metal door. It was the most metal thing that ever happened to me. They're like,
get it?
You asshole. Yeah.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the banter.
No, it's great.
I appreciate you. And it's good to meet you again, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, re-meet.
And I appreciate you taking the time to chat.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure we'll see each other in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, man. Congrats on all your success, too, with
Ice Nine
Kills.
Thank you so much. You too, likewise.
It's really great.
Thank you. But yeah, thanks again. Is there anything you want to shout out, any socials or anything like that where people can find you before we wrap up?
I just follow me on Instagram or Twitter, Andy Sizek. And I have a Twitch now. So if you want to check me out on Twitch, we do some fun shit and live recordings. And Makari's got an EP coming out on the 6th of November this month. So keep an eye out.
What's the name?
The name is called Continuum.
All right, Continuum in November 6th.
Yeah.
Make sure you check it out.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, thank you so much
again.
Thank you. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, man.
It's time to show me your worth. Are you with me or are you? You can't say.
Follow me into the abyss. Embrace who you are inside. We can have everything that we ever wanted. Blech.
So show me your worth. The salt of the earth.
Let me take your pain away. Now you've tried, you couldn't say goodbye. We both know that you'll stay.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.